let you be aware of something real quick. Last Sunday, we've been talking about prayer for the last few weeks. Last Sunday, we brought the Morrises up front and asked a special blessing upon them as they were prepared to go and bring a new baby girl into the world. And that happened on Wednesday. Brand new little Carly Rain Morris is here. She's at home doing well. Mother and baby are doing great. And so we're happy about that. And thank you for continuing to pray for them this week. If you have your little note page, go ahead and bring that out and kind of take a look at that. Yours looks a little different than mine. I've got writing all over mine, but maybe yours will look like that by the end of the service if you're a note taker. What we've been talking about is prayer, but more specifically, why our prayers sometimes aren't answered, why we feel like they're not even being heard. We've been talking about what is it in our lives that keep us from having an effective prayer life. I've entitled this The Hindrances to Prayer. We've kind of been talking about, up to this point, we've talked about six different things that are in our lives, possibly, that keep us from having that relationship with the Father. And just as a review, number one was the marriage relationship is out of kilter. This first week, we talked about the first three things, and they're about relationships. The first one is our marriage relationship, if you're married, that relationship is out of whack. Bible tells us if that's not right, then our prayers would be hindered. The second one we talked about is maybe we've wronged someone and we've not made restitution. We've not gone and make that right. And you know what? Sometimes we may not even know that. Sometimes somebody may be holding something against us that we don't even really know. We need to be sensitive to that and be aware of that. And if we found maybe even something that we didn't even really do, but if they may perceive it that way, we need to go and make that right. The third one we talked about is if we've been wronged and someone has done something to us or against us and we have unforgiveness in our heart, that we need to make that right. Last week we talked about the next three. Covetousness sets in. That means we begin to put other things before God. We begin to cherish these other things, whether they be relationships, material things, relationships, activities, time, whatever it is, we begin to put that before God. And when we do that, God says, you know, you're not holding me in your proper place. I hear you, but I'm just not listening. The fifth thing we talked about was disobedience has become a pattern in our life. Not only do we know that we're disobedient from time to time, that's what sin is. That's when we do things that either go against God's word or we don't do things that God says that we should be doing. But it's more than that, it's when that becomes a pattern in our life, we begin to rationalize and say that well, this is special this time. And we find that those things become a habit and a pattern in our life. The next thing we talked about was unconfessed sin is cherished. Now, not just talking about sin, but it's talking about when we sin, when we do things that go against God's word, and we don't confess it because we really like it. Now, y'all are looking at me like, that's not me. That's all you, preacher. You must be the only one in this room. Am I really the only one in the room that has ever experienced that? Okay, there's one hand back there. Thank you. Me and that person are not alone. All right. The problem is that we find things that we like, that we know that God says is not okay, or you know, it's a sin, but we think, you know what? I'm going to keep on to that one. I'm going to hold on to that one. I really like this activity. I like this habit that I've got. I like this addiction that I have. I don't want to give that up because I like it too good. I like to be able to do this. I like my freedom. I like my time. You fill in the blank. But when we cherish that and we rationalize it, we try to make excuses for it, that's what God is talking about there. Now today, we're going to talk about number 7 and 8. And I'll sneak in one in on you. I'm going to add a number 9. Number 7. It's Sometimes we ask with the wrong motives. We could just wrap this up with saying selfishness. Okay? The passage, James 4, chapter 3. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend on what, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You see, God's saying, see, there's some things you're asking for. I'm not hearing you. I'm not listening because you're asking with the wrong motives. Now, you may ask, well, then is it wrong for me to pray for myself? Let me ask you, do you think it's wrong for us to pray for ourselves? No. Jesus tells us to pray for ourselves. But he doesn't say to pray for yourselves for you, for your sake. Really, everything about us is to be about other people. And so that's kind of where this is coming from. Selfishness, it poses a danger to the purpose and purposes God wants to accomplish. When we ask for things for ourselves or ask for God to bless us, you know, we want blessings, right? I want blessings. I want to be blessed. But let me tell you something. If I'm asking for God to bless me so that I can be blessed and I can show that God loves me and he blesses me and so that I can enjoy God's blessings and I can just keep it all myself and enjoy it and my family, and that's not what God wants to bless me for. God wants to bless me so that I can say, look how good my God is, and he can do the same for you. That's why God blesses us. That's not selfish. And that's okay. That's okay to ask for blessings. But when we're selfish, when we're inwardly focused, okay, instead of focused outwardly on other people, that's wrong. That's wrong. God will not answer prayers that go against what he is working in us to achieve. Okay? If God has got a plan for you, let me rephrase that. God has a plan for you, okay? And in that plan, if you're asking for things that are outside of that plan, don't expect God to give you what you're asking for. That's why we say we need to pray in God's will. That's what that means. We need to pray according to what God has planned for us. Question may come into your mind, well, that's good and easy, but I don't know what God's plan is for me. Well, that's what you need to be praying about. God, show me what your plan is for me so that I can pray according to your will, so that I can pray according to what you want to do in my life. And let me tell you something. I can almost 100% guarantee that God's plan for you is not all about you. God's plan for you is about somebody else. First and foremost, he wants to have a relationship with you. First and foremost. Okay? Because if he doesn't have a relationship with you, it's going to be a little more difficult for you to experience and express that to someone else, for them to have a relationship. Now, God uses those people. God still uses those. I would highly encourage you not to be used like that. Okay? As the recipient of God's wrath and what God will do. In working in somebody's life that's not pleasing him. Let me encourage you to be the other one that says, yeah, I'm following God. So God's first and foremost plan for you is that you have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ, his son. I prayed earlier that God has not just made a way for us. He has made the way. It's simple. It's not complex. It's not complicated. We don't have to do all of these things and understand all of these things Though we need to understand some things and we need to be doing some things, but it's not about that. It's about whose we are. When we accept that Jesus Christ is the way, the only way into the Father, like he says it is, either Jesus is telling the truth or he's lying. Right? I would profess to you today that Jesus Christ is not a liar. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. I believe that with all my heart. And that's simple. That's his plan for you. Now, once that's accomplished in you, God's not through. Now, the work begins. Okay? This is where you really pick up. And momentum gets carried on because now God can use you to affect somebody's life. somebody's life for on this earth and for all of eternity. That's good news. That's good news. It's good news that God wants to use you. God values you enough and says, I can use that person. Doesn't that make you feel good? God wants to use you. Question is, do you want to be used? I would hope and pray that you do. I would hope and pray that you do. We are blessed to be a blessing. Right? Number three, under their selfish people will always be discontent. Anybody ever, don't shout out names. Don't shout out a name. Has you ever known anyone that is selfish? Have you ever known anybody that is always discontent? Discontent means I'm just not happy. I'm not satisfied. They're never satisfied. Does anybody know anybody like that? Again, no names. Okay, but you, okay, there's some people. Maybe y'all all know the same person. I don't know. Selfish people are always discontent. Do you know why they're always discontent? You know why they're never satisfied? Because they're selfish. That's right. Because it's all about me. You could write a country and western song about that, couldn't you? All about me. I want to talk about me and my and me, oh my, and me, mine, and all that kind of stuff. Not about you. It's about me. It's about mine, about me, my stuff, what I want, how I want God to bless me for my purposes. Right? Those people will never be satisfied because they're not fulfilling God's plan and God's purpose in their life. Right? It's all about God's plan and what God wants to do. That's all about you for salvation. But then it becomes all about everybody else for their salvation, for their growth, for their eternity, y'all. Do you realize there's a lot at stake here? It's huge. You know what selfishness is? Let me tell you the epitome of selfishness. I've been given this great gift. It's free. And as much as I am able to distribute it, I never lose what I have. But yet, I'm just going to hoard it. I'm not going to let anybody else have it. Wouldn't that be selfish? If I had an unending supply of Snickers candy bars. Anybody like Snickers? If I had an unending supply, and if I gave out five would show right back up in my basket. And if I gave out 10 would show right back up in my basket. I would never run out. Would it be selfish of me to say, I've got an unending supply of Snickers candy bars? Look at it. Everybody see it? You can't have any because it's never-ending, and I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to enjoy all I can eat right here. I just love it. Woo, I'm so blessed. Would that be selfish of me? Especially if you like Snickers, right? Well, guess what? We have been giving an unending supply of life. And as much as we can help other people to experience that, we never lose what we have been given. Would it be selfish of us to hoard it? Would it be selfish of us to contain it? To maybe let people take a sneak peek, but never let them experience what we have in our basket? Would that not be selfish? It's extremely selfish. Shame on us. Where's the focus? Where is the focus? We ask with the wrong motives because we want to focus on us. You want to know a prayer that gets answered? It's when we put the focus on other people. It's when we put the focus on other people. The next point there is a lack of faith. Two passages, one in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What is faith? What is faith? James 1, verses 5 through 7. Actually, 5 through 8 I'm going to read. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Now, it's easy to say you have to pray believing. Right? I mean, we could all say that, right? Repeat after me. Pray believing. Say it. Pray. Say it again. Pray. One more time. We can say that, can't we? It's another thing to believe it. It's another thing to believe it. God, I want you to give us a safe trip. And we get in our car. It's a new car. It's got airbags. It's got safety belts. It's got good tires on it, good brakes, a loud horn. Did anybody ever drive with a horn? Confession time will be later, but it's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to trust in what I've got and what I know, and I'm going to ask God to bless it. I'm going to ask God to provide it, what I already have, and that's faith, right? Is that faith? Trusting in what I know? Trusting in what I can see and touch and feel? That's not faith. A harder prayer is when we trust in God and we know there's no way that we can accomplish what we're asking. There's no way that we can even fathom what we're asking for, what we're asking God to do. You see, that's what the prayer is. We're not asking God to bless what we can do. We're asking God to do what only He can do. That's a prayer of faith. That's a prayer of faith. And if we ask not believing, it says right there, that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Faith. Believing. Two reasons we don't believe. Number one is fear that God does not want to give. Have you ever thought that? I don't want to ask for this because I don't think God would want to give me that. Maybe He's too busy. Maybe my request is too petty. It's a little bitty old thing in God's eyes. Why would He want to pay attention to little old me with my little old problem when He's got world peace on His mind, right? Sometimes we don't believe because we know we're asking with selfish motives. Ooh, that takes us right back to the last one, right? God, I want you to bless me with this. I want you to give me this. He's not going to give it because I'm asking all for me. But I'm going to ask it anyway because He might. But we know in our heart we're not going to receive from the Father because we're asking with the wrong motives. We don't believe it. But we ask it anyway just in case, right? Kind of like a little, maybe we might get a bonus. That's not what God is saying for us to do. That's not what Jesus taught us to pray, folks. Sometimes we don't believe because we fear that the thing we're asking is too big or too difficult. God, if you can. Jesus was asked that one time. He said, excuse me? If I can? Are you serious? He didn't say all that, but at least that's not what we have recorded. But He says, if I can, oh, if you'd only believe. If you'd only believe. You see, do you understand when we pray? Do you understand who we're praying to? Do you understand who we're talking to? Do you understand who we're asking? We're talking to the great Creator of everything. Of everything. And nothing. All of that, even the stuff we can't even fathom and see and understand, God is the one who gave it. He's the one who created it. And you know how He did it? He said, let it be. Boom, and it was. Oh, now, is that not power? And we're saying, God, I don't, if you can, my toe hurts, if you can help me, my finances are a little short, if you can teach me how to manage my finances. Oh. You thought I was going to say, if you can help me with more money, right? Sometimes we need to learn to manage what we've got, y'all. Sometimes we think the blessing would be more money when the true blessing would be to manage what we've got in a way that brings honor and glory to the Father. That's not a selfish prayer either. To bring honor and glory to the Father by how we manage our finances, that's not selfish. Believing is faith. Believing is faith. Faith is the foundation of our relationship with God. A lack of faith robs us of His power. Did you know that? When we don't believe, the Bible says, if we don't believe, we shouldn't expect to receive anything from God. So if we don't express faith, if we don't believe, then we're robbing ourselves of God's power. Because the Bible says that man shouldn't think he's going to receive anything. So if we ask not believing, God's not going to be able to, not that he's not able to, but he won't display his power in our lives. Somebody ought to say amen about that. Do you want God to show himself through you? Believe it. Believe it. Because he wants to. And it's not just for you. You know what we call that? We call that a testimony. We call that our story. People's lives are touched by our testimonies, right? Tonight, if you can be here tonight, I'm going to challenge us tonight. I'm going to give you a heads up so you can work on it. Tonight, we're going to talk about testimony, okay? Tonight, church right here. I'm going to ask you, specifically speaking of prayer, to come tonight with a testimony about how God has answered a prayer in your life and how and why you think He did that. What's the testimony about that experience? Now, also, I want to hear if you've got a testimony about God not answering a prayer in your life. And now looking back, why you believe that was so or not so. Okay? Tonight, come for that. It's going to be a good time. If you don't normally come on Sunday night, let me encourage you and challenge you to be here tonight. I think it's going to be good. Believing is faith. And faith is the foundation of a relationship with God. But James also tells us in chapter 2, verse 26. As a body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Did you know faith is not just believing? Faith is actually putting feet to the prayers. Faith is action. Faith is a partnership with the Father. When we pray and we ask, when we pray and we bear our heart and our soul before the Father, and then we just kick back and we kick up our feet in the lazy boy and just wait for God to show his power and do his work, right? That's not faith. Faith is when we say, God, this is what I believe. This is what I feel like I or we need. I feel that this is in your will. I pray in according to what your will, what I understand your will for my life is. Now, this is what I'm asking for, Father. And you get up off your knees and you get to work. And just watch God work. He'll do that. He'll do that. Faith is also action. Putting feet to your prayers. What you don't have in your notes is number 9. So if you're taking notes, write this down. And I believe that possibly the biggest reason why our prayers are not heard, it's going to be revolutionary to you, okay? Because we don't ask. Because we don't pray. Did you know that God can't hear your prayer if you don't ever pray it? That's gonna blow your mind, some of you. Others of you are going to say, well, that makes perfect sense, Brother Mike. How can anybody hear me if I don't speak? If you don't pray to God, how are you going to expect Him to answer your prayers? How are you going to expect Him to hear you? Listen, if you don't first come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins, how are you going to expect to be forgiven? If you don't come to Him and say, Lord, I trust You as my Lord and as my Savior, how are you going to expect Him to be Lord and Savior of your life? If you don't come to Him and ask Him to be healed, ask Him to be blessed, ask Him for somebody else, how are you going to expect that if you don't ask? James says, you have not because you ask not. Now, does that mean I don't have a RV yet? Lord, give me an RV, please. In Jesus' name, amen. We get back to selfishness, right? Is that praying in accordance with God's will and God's purpose and plan for my life? Possibly. If I'm going to use an RV and I'm going to have a traveling ministry or something, I don't know. I don't feel that that's what God's plan for me is right now. I'm not asking for an RV. If you're out there and you want to bless me with an RV, just hold back. There's a book. It was handed to me last week. There's a quote in here I want to read to you. Prayer keeps us aware of Him as our source and opens our lives to receive His greater bounty. Prayer also links our lives with God's exciting purposes and power. More importantly, it brings us into a love relationship with God, rooted in our realizing how much we need Him and our choosing to depend on Him. The more we pray, the more we're able to let God meet our emotional and spiritual needs and love others through us. Listen to this. Prayer ushers us into an experience with God, with a growing sense of wonder, delight, and gratefulness. Do you get it that prayer is a great privilege? It's not a right. It's not a bonus. It's not something to do. It's not a 911. It's not the little glass thing on the wall that says break in case of emergency. Where we think, well, there's nothing else I can do. I guess I will pray. Folks, that's the very first thing we should be doing. Very first thing we should be doing. A lot of times we say, well, all I can do is pray. Would you say? It's about time, she said. That's the very best thing we can ever do for somebody. Is when we know when we understand that there's nothing we can do, the very best thing we can do is to put that request in the Father's hands because He's the only one that can do it. Wouldn't that be selfish not to ask? Wouldn't that be selfish not to turn that request, that petition over to the Father who can do something about it? Unless you don't believe. This thing just keeps going in circles, doesn't it? Do you believe? Do you believe that we serve a God who is capable? Do you believe that we serve a God who is able? Do you believe that we serve a God who is powerful enough to do what He wants, when He wants, how He wants to do it, wherever He wants to do it, and use whoever He wants to do it to or through? Do you believe that? Then pray. Then ask Him. And pray believing. Because my God is able. My God is able. Had a great opportunity last night. Went and had a concert last night. If you were there, it was a good concert, I think. I thought it was great. If you missed it, I'm sorry. You really missed something last night. But I got to experience some things yesterday with the bands and just be able to be there with them while they were setting up and doing their sound checks, having their meal. listening to them. And I'm not trying to hold these guys up on a pedestal, because they wouldn't want that either. I certainly don't want that. But just to watch and listen to them and how they pray. They ask for the blessing for their food. We prayed before the concert, prayed for them as they left to go on the road. And to listen to these guys pray was amazing. And because I felt like they were genuine and sincere, and they had, it wasn't a foreign thing to them. They were accustomed to praying. They were accustomed to calling upon the name of the Father through Jesus Christ to do a work in and through them to touch people's lives for all of eternity. Let me ask you, are you praying for that in your life? Are you praying for that in your life? That's not a selfish prayer. God, I want to be used. That's not selfish. Because God says, I've been waiting for you to ask that. I want to use you. Do you really want to be used? Because here's the deal. It means a surrender. It means, God, I'm not going to pick where and when and how you use me. I just want to be used. Use me as you see fit. Here I am. That's a prayer that's hard to pray. But let me tell you something. When you pray that prayer, and you mean it from your heart, and you believe that God can do it, watch out. Watch out. Hell trembles at those kind of prayers. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not sure where you are today. Maybe you don't have an effective prayer life, and maybe it's because of one or more of these reasons. Maybe you don't know how to pray. You know what? The disciples of Jesus Christ didn't even know how to pray. But they said, Lord, teach us.